Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Joel Coleman of Sports Illustrated's Cowbell Corner, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Joel T. Coleman.
Woo.
Here we go on a Thursday morning. Glad you have joined us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen out there taking care of us. Speaking of podcasts and things like that, I saw some of you were tweeting and putting on message boards. Had some issues with iTunes. I was told there was an iTunes update issue there. So my advice to you is if you're not seeing Thunder and Lightning on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts, just unsubscribe from us and then immediately resubscribe. Don't leave us hanging there.
Yeah, that usually works. For whatever it's worth, I have iTunes. And
it showed up for me, but I haven't updated recently either.
I think mine auto-updates, but anyway.
Mine does not. Mine requires my permission.
Your approval. Anyway. Yeah.
It's my children.
Yeah. It's on mine. So
there we go.
Works for me, so it should work for all of you. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, John Cohen, over there. Appreciate that. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream, Starkville's leading local business. They've been leading the charge for doing things locally here in Starkville for a long, long time. That's what's made them such a must stop every time you're in Starkville. If you're up here this weekend for baseball, start your day with Strange Brew Coffee House. Get your afternoon going with Strange Brew Coffee House. Maybe give yourself a little nightcap with Strange Brew Coffee House. Who needs food? Just drink coffee. You'll lose a lot of weight, and you'll have plenty of energy.
It's a good thought.
It's actually totally unhealthy. Don't do that. But if you're going to go eat, we got some places for you to do that later on. Our good friends over at College Corner want to remind you, hey, Father's Day is not too far off, and that means it's time to get Dad some nice, brand-new maroon and white gear, a new polo for this football season, a new baseball cap, something MSU-related. That's what Dad wants for Father's Day. So shop at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Speaking of places to eat, Humble Taco, one of them. This weekend in Starkville, if you're up here, make sure it's on your list. You've got to check out Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. A Mexican restaurant unlike any other in Starkville. Everybody else sort of doing the same thing, the tacos and the fajitas and the burritos burritos and fajitos is what I said. That is literally what I said. I said fajitos and burritos.
I'll try it.
I would try a burrito. I would try a fajito. I don't know what they would be. a fajito would be a burrito filled with fajita meat and vegetables.
Yeah. You'd have, green peppers and onions.
Tomatoes, and the steak. That's a fajito.
Yeah.
What's a burrito? Ground beef and sauce on the skillet,
like cheese sauce on the skillet. Yeah.
I don't know. Burrito is a tougher sell.
Yeah, be a nightmare to clean that skillet.
Yeah, you don't want it. Yeah, let's just stick with fajitos. Getting back to Humble Taco though, different kind of Mexican menu there. Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, all your Southern favorites spun into Mexican classics. Great stuff. Something for everybody on the menu. Be it vegans, keto. Or if you're just, like me, and you love to eat meat and cheese, they've got you covered there at Humble Taco. And plus, margaritas on tap, a great list of local beers and wines, and one of the biggest patios in the city of Starkville. Check them out at Humble Taco over there on University Drive, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Thursdays has sort of turned into regional projection day. I guess we'll be that way for the next couple of weeks. And by the time we do this next week, Joel, we should know host sites, so we can stop some speculation for sure. Let's look at them today. Let's start with D1 Baseball and their most recent projection. Both projections we're going to look at have MSU as the 4 seed. Any surprise there for you? State's number 2 in the RPI. They're number 3 in every poll. Or better, they're 3 or better in every poll. Surprised that they're the 4 seed?
Who's 3 ahead of them? Do you have it right there?
Arkansas is the 1.
I'm okay with that.
The Vanderbilt is the 2. And Texas in this one is the 3, coming off there. They just took a series from TCU.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, Texas is the only one that you kind of look at. And
State's ahead of them in the RPI and has a head-to-head win.
Yeah.
You would think that
that's the only one that you kind of look at and you could feel like you could make a solid argument to to flip-flop them. But is there some projecting going on here, like what's happening over the last couple of weeks kind of thing?
Possibly.
Because I don't know what Texas has left. Of course, State's probably
favored in most
every game. If you're
doing that kind of projection,
you
could make State the two, I would think. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
So let's look at the Starkville Regional. As I said, State's the four seed. The two seed, Southern Miss, who are just starting to hit their stride right now, playing really, really good baseball. They've actually taken first place now ahead of Louisiana Tech in, I'm not sure the names of that. I think it's East and West of the divisions over there in Conference USA. The three seed is Clemson, who just as a couple weeks ago swept Louisville. I remember that. Good, you know, MSU obviously had some history with Clemson in postseason baseball. And then the four seed, Jackson State. This is about the sixth regional projection in a row from anybody that I've seen that has Jackson State in this regional. Jackson State's coming to Starkville.
It sure feels that way.
The only other option for them, I think, is if Oxford was going to host, which I don't think Ole Miss is going to host at this point. So you can bet on Jackson State and Mississippi State on Friday.
And if that's the case, then it's a little difficult for me to imagine Southern Miss actually coming too. Because then you're going to have two teams that you play during the regular season come to your regional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's probably happened before. I'm trying to think. Has State ever hosted a regional and had – well, it's not even Mississippi teams. Have teams that you played in the regular season in your regional, have they ever had more than one?
I think in 13.
I know Central Arkansas.
And Samford, they had played in the regular season, I want to say.
I get mixed up on who was where and what year. Samford was here in 13, too?
I think that's right.
But,
Thank gosh we have a device.
We do. And so, anyway, it just feels like it would be not all that likely to send two opponents that you played during the regular season to your regional.
So, Mississippi State, I was wrong.
But
it was not Samford. The Starkville Regional that year was Mississippi
Arkansas.
State. Yeah, you're right. Hold on. It's Mississippi State, Central Arkansas, South Alabama, and Mercer was the other team. And then looking back at the schedule that year, I think State played all of those teams in the regular season. They did play Samford. I was right about that. They played Central Arkansas. They played South Alabama.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
And did they play Mercer? They did not play Mercer.
Okay, so...
Well, I mean, we saw a regional last week that had State playing three teams that had played. Because the third team in there was somebody, I forget who it was. It was somebody State had played.
Tulane.
I think that's right. So that's your Starkville regional. That is paired up with the Greenville regional, East Carolina, where East Carolina is the one seed, South Carolina is the two seed, NC State is the three seed, and Wofford is the four seed over there. What I find interesting is this, and Richard Cross pointed this out on Tuesday's Sports Talk Mississippi. So look at State's regional, right? Southern Miss is a good team.
A real good team.
Clemson's
yeah.
a pretty good team. Jackson State went undefeated in SWAC play.
And if you'll recall, that game was, I mean, it wasn't some just humongous blowout
right,
all the way through.
Right.
When State played.
It was like 8-3 was the final, I think. That's the four seeds regional. The eight seeds regional, Arizona, has Baylor, Virginia Tech, and Grand Canyon. Why does it seems like the 8 seed has a easier I understand they're trying to keep travel down, but that's a tough regional for
this,
the 4 seed.
This could be a year where playing in the South kind of hurts you.
Yeah.
Because there's so many good teams in the South, and they're trying to keep people close to home that you could end up.
Notre Dame has Central Michigan, who came down here a couple years ago, but they're not going to send Central Michigan down here.
Yeah.
They don't want to send Jackson State, you know. And it's not just so much about, you know, travel and trying to limit travel. Jackson State is, I mean, their budget with what COVID has done has probably taken a hit. And, you know, can they really afford to fly to South Bend or to, you know, Fort Worth or something like that? Probably not. But
I feel like at this point, you just mentioned budget. I kind of wonder if some of this keeping everybody closer to home is more budget related at this point than it is.
It might very well be.
Than it is virus related.
You know, Clemson can go wherever. They've got money. But Southern and Jackson State, those are budget conscious schools. So, other SEC teams, we mentioned Arkansas is the one. This is the D1. Vanderbilt is the two. Knoxville is the national seed number six. And then as far as other teams go, in the 16 seeds regional. That's Tallahassee. Georgia is there. In the 14 seeds regional, which is Ruston, that is where Ole Miss is, which means Ole Miss is on this line here. There's, if that's where the line really is, it's not going to take much to get them to Mississippi to play Mississippi State, or assuming they can get out of their regional.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, with Hoagland out now, that really hurts their chances,
it
obviously.
Does.
But
it does.
We'll see.
Like I said, the Greenville regional, South Carolina is there. Florida is hosting. They are the 12 seed. They have Louisville. That would be an interesting regional there. Kentucky makes it. They are the in the 11 seed, Oregon's regional. And that's it from the SEC.
Oh, so they're sending Kentucky all the way out to Oregon in that prediction.
But again,
prediction.
Kentucky is a team that, you know,
could do it.
Can afford that. And then in their first five out, which is, I had not noticed this feature before now, Alabama and LSU are both in the first five out.
Is Carolina in?
Carolina was in the regional, and they were actually paired up with Mississippi State. They're in the Greenville regional.
Okay.
LSU is an interesting. I hate to say they're heating up, but they're playing better, and they have a chance to finish. If they can get to 14 and 16, they have a chance to get in here.
And they really feel like one of those teams, man, that
you don't want to see them.
Well, you don't want to see them. LSU. A, but two, if they get to that borderline thing,
they're getting in.
People are going to see that purple and gold and
exactly.
Say, yeah, let's
the
put
same
in.
Way a Duke team in the NCAA
get the benefit of the doubt.
Get the benefit of the doubt. So that's the D1 baseball. What are your thoughts on that?
For State, I mean, that's a tough draw, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know State topped Southern Miss, and I mean they've beaten Jackson State, and you feel like they're the favorite. Of course, they're the favorite national seed. They're the
right.
best team in that regional at home, but you could sure draw up an easier road than that. I'm just trying to think, like, if that's how it played out from a pitching staff standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Throw Houston Harding on Friday.
Absolutely.
Who do you throw in that Saturday? Do you go ahead with McLeod?
I'll go with McLeod. McLeod against Walker
and
Powell.
Hopefully you win those two, and then
McLeod
you got
McLeod versus Walker Powell is a that is an assuming Southern wins, that is an A plus matchup there. That's a good game.
Yeah.
Walker Powell just threw a no hitter. I know it's against Middle Tennessee or whoever it was. It doesn't matter. It's a no hitter. That's two good pitchers. Where you luck out is because Southern can go for you there, but Southern has to throw, and I forget the kid's name, who's their number one guy. But he has to go against Clemson, and then Powell goes against them against the winner. When you get to Sunday, and you're able to throw Bednar, that's where you have the advantage.
Yeah.
So
got to win those first two. You know, I was thinking
you
last
have to
night,
win them, but you feel like if you get to Sunday unscathed, you're in great shape.
Yeah. I was thinking last night. Of course, Mississippi State didn't play on Tuesday because of the weather. Games like that, I know from an RPI and what does it mean standpoint, it doesn't matter. State didn't play it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grand scheme of, like, the postseason,
mm-hmm.
not playing that game could hurt you. Because, like, State
just
really...
Just innings for guys.
Well, that, but particularly like Cade Smith, who it really seems like State's trying to develop into their,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better way of putting it, number five starter
yeah.
at this point. And you would like to see him continue to stretch out and be able to get
three innings,
something like that. And that was another opportunity for him to see if he could get a little deeper because he went, what, I think three innings against the Citadel
yeah.
last week? See if he can get four against against UT
Instead,
Martin, and he didn't get the chance to do that. I mean, I guess you
tournament.
Could.
It's going to be the game one of the SEC tournament is the next time you'll see
yeah.
Cade Smith. And then it's going to be you're playing an SEC team. You got to see how far you can go.
And I'm sure he probably threw a
bullpen or
long
something.
Bullpen. Or yeah. It's just different. But
no, I agree.
But, I mean, if State gets into a loser's bracket situation in a regional, you're going to need five starters.
Yeah.
And that fifth guy, I'm guessing, would be Cade Smith,
yeah.
who you would be hoping had more innings than what he's got to this point.
No, I agree.
And so,
I agree.
You know, yeah, playing that out, you know, if you lose either the first or second game of whoever comes into the regional,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to win two games on Sunday, well, Bednar's going to start one of them, and then I'm assuming probably Fristo the other one if Harding started Friday.
Right.
And then, of course, you're going to have a Monday game then at
yeah.
that point. I guess it's Cade Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, who else would it be?
Depending on what's happened that weekend, could Brandon Smith be that guy?
Could be.
Just depends, though. You know, you got to assume you've used him at some
point. Dust off Eric Sarantola. No.
I mean. You know what's funny is from a stuff perspective, nobody that guy would be the best fifth starter in the world.
He just hadn't pitched enough for you to do that, I don't think so.
All right, let's move over to Baseball America now. They also have MSU as the four seed. Their seating's a little different. Arkansas 1, TCU 2, which I find incredibly interesting coming off a series loss to Texas, and they are behind State in the polls and in the RPI. But
at least they do have a head-to-head win over State, unlike
they
Texas.
They do have a head-to-head win there. Vanderbilt's the 3, and then State's the 4. And talk about the matchup Chris Lemonis doesn't want to see. Not from the terms of he's afraid of the opponent, but the 2 seed is Louisville. And they said last year that they didn't like playing Louisville. McDonald and Lemonis, such great friends. This would be a very emotional regional if those two teams were to meet up. You almost think he'd be pulling for South Alabama, who's the 3 seed, and so you'd never see him. South Alabama's the 3, and then Jackson State is the 4. Again, Jackson State is coming to Starkville. It just feels like that's going to happen. Matched up with the Stanford regional. So maybe a rematch of 2019, Stanford, UC Irvine, Baylor, and Nevada. Looking around the SEC, I already mentioned Vanderbilt is the 3, Arkansas is the 1. Let's see here. Tennessee is the 8 seed. The 9 seed is Oregon. Who else from the SEC here? Florida also hosting here. Florida and Florida State in the same regional. That's very interesting. And then, let's see, Georgia is in the Charlotte regional, along with Georgia Tech. That's, again, interesting. They're sending Southern Miss to Pittsburgh in this regional. So that we talked about travel a minute ago. That's about as far away as you could send them. And then Ole Miss, still in the Ruston regional, but that's the 16 seeds regional. So if you look at it from that type of term, what they're saying there is that Ole Miss is the best 2 seed. So they got it matched up with the worst 1 seed. And they're in the regional with Tulane as well. That is not a good matchup there for Ole Miss without Hoagland. Off, is that his name?
I can't remember his name.
I believe that's his name.
I can remember what he looks like, and I can remember
There's
how
no
well
forgetting
he
what he looks like and how well he pitched, but I believe that's his name, Perry Off. That sounds right. But game one, you got to throw into Casey. You can't screw around with Derek Diamond or Drew McDaniel or whoever there. You got to throw your best against him, because if you don't, you're going to the loser's bracket, and you got no shot. No shot of coming out of that, I would
say. Yeah, think about that. If Ole Miss went to the loser's bracket, they'd have to dig out with Derek Diamond and Drew McDaniel and then, who else?
You know.
Because you gotta have two other starters.
Yeah, can Plumlee pitch. Does everything else. Yeah. You know. Never mind. We'll get Corral to pitch. He'll be better. That's a tough road to hoe. And if you do come out of that regional, congratulations, you're going to Fayetteville. So, tough road for the Rebels. But that's just sort of the bed they've made, and then the Hoagland injury just complicated everything for them. Your thoughts on the Starkville Regional here, Louisville, South Alabama, Jackson State. Louisville's interesting because, I mean, so they're a powerhouse traditionally, but they're not having a great year this year.
It's one of those deals with Louisville where there would be some, at least from a fan perspective, I don't know about the players, but from a fan perspective, there would be some fear factor. It'd be almost like if the Yankees are having an off year in Major League Baseball, but you play the Yankees, there's still that fear, well, they're going to kick our tail, they're the Yankees, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like, with Louisville, they're usually so darn good mm-hmm. that you wouldn't feel comfortable at any point in that regional. I think
State fans would feel a lot more comfortable with Louisville than with Southern.
You think so?
Well, mainly because, how many Louisville fans do you see on an average day? I mean, if you work with a USM fan, you'll never hear the end of that if that were to happen. I think
I'm a big believer, though, in you want to play the team that's not as good. And look, Southern Miss is good, but I don't know.
Are they
better than Louisville?
Their strength of schedule is better. Their RPI is better. Their record is better.
Well, maybe I'm falling victim to the whole.
I think you're falling victim
looking to the colors and the coach.
And
all
Southern
that.
Miss's their strength of schedule was in the top 10 for most of the year prior to these last couple
think
of weeks.
I'm slanted when it comes to Southern Miss by the one time I saw them, and their lineup looked awful.
They've gotten the hitting going a little bit, but they were sort of similar to State early in the year in that the pitching was really good and the hitting was just enough, but it wasn't as good.
The one time I saw them live, and again, you can't take any mass judgments away from one baseball game, but the one time State played them, the one time mm-hmm. I saw them with my own eyeballs, man, that Southern Miss lineup just looked wretched.
You were the only guy down in Jackson, weren't you?
No, Ben was there.
Okay.
Robbie was there for a little while. He had to go cover some high school basketball state championship action, mm-hmm. I think, so... There were 3 or 4 of us there. I think Dalton was there. But
well,
anyway,
I tried to make you look good. Never mind.
Yeah, there were 3 or 4 of us there. But at any rate, they didn't look good that day. But that was a long time ago. And like I said, one baseball game you can't take a ton away from. But I think I am falling victim maybe a little bit to Louisville's just usually the better program. And yeah. I just, when you get into those situations, those postseason situations, look, I don't know what Louisville has left from 2 years ago when they went to Omaha. But you like guys that have done it before. That's where I like steak. I mean, Tanner Allen's blood pressure ain't going to go up any more in a super than it would for a regular weekend, I don't think. I mean, he's just, this is his third, fourth go at it. He's done it so many times, there's just no nerves. That's where, like, Louisville, if they still have some guys left over from that run a couple years ago, and I mean, they're just not going to get, they're not going to grip the bats too tight. And they're like, that's why when I see teams like that, they can be really dangerous. And I think that's why a lot of times you see State, even when they don't have great regular seasons, they a lot of times have great postseasons because they just have this year after year, it gets to the postseason and guys get used to it and, you know, they've played in front of a big crowd all year during the regular season anyway, so when they get to the postseason, the pressure's on. Well, the pressure had been on them all year anyway with what they played. I just think teams like that are dangerous.
So no, you're not wrong.
I consider Louisville, for whatever reason in my head, a little bit more dangerous than Southern Miss.
You're not wrong, but, I mean, Scott Barry is a veteran coach, and they've got veteran players down there. So I mean, and, you know, they've played at Duty Noble Field before, so they're not going to be, you know, intimidated by it. So your point's not wrong. But at the same time, you know, Southern Miss is not – I wouldn't take them lightly. And I'm not saying that you do.
Yeah.
I'm saying that if you said, oh, I would definitely rather have Louisville, I mean, that's probably –
there's also a confidence factor, too, if you play Southern Miss. Of course, you can get to go against overconfidence. But, hey, we played those guys and we handled them earlier in the year. That goes a little way, too. Some of the guys that pitched and played well that night, they go out there like – you go out there with confidence knowing that, hey, I've already done this once.
Yeah. So. Should be interesting. Both, like I said, I'm interested to see if State moves up the seed line any. I mean, they should be winning games over the next couple weekends. The Alabama series in particular, a road series against what is a borderline tournament team, should be, you know, really solidify them as the number, you know, as a top two RPI team. And then we'll see what happens when they get over to Hoover. But
State I guess they don't need to, but they kind of need to sweep this weekend. It kind of feels like just
it feels like just to keep. Yeah, you want to get a sweep. This is gonna maybe hurt some of y'all out there, but it wouldn't hurt if Ole Miss took a game from Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
that would be helpful to Mississippi State.
Needs the wrong
Arkansas
word.
And Tennessee play each other, so that's gonna sort itself out one way or the other. But it would be helpful if Nikhazy could step up on Saturday and get one off Leiter.
I want to go back. I said need to sweep this week. I also have SEC championship thinking in mind. That's where I say need to sweep this weekend. It feels like if you don't sweep Missouri, then any chances of winning the SEC probably go out the window. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah.
If you basically
you have to go six. Well, you have to go 6-0, and let Arkansas go 5-1 or worse. If Arkansas is 5-1 and you're 6-0, you clinch a share, but Arkansas would be the one seed. If Arkansas is 4-2 over the next two weekends, they just win both series.
Yeah.
And you're 6-0, you win the conference outright.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, Arkansas is going to take care of Tennessee for you, and then you just need Vandy to drop a game. You really need him just to drop a game to Ole Miss. So we'll see. All right, let's move on over to football. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef. This weekend, Welcome Home Beef is what you need to put on the grill, in the pot, in the pan. It's just good eating no matter where you go. And don't forget, it's a lot more than just steaks, burgers, and roasts when you shop with Welcome Home Beef. They have all the different cuts of meat. They've got all sorts of different products. They're always happy to accommodate you guys with special orders. They want to be your full-service meat distributor, meat maestros, if you will. So why don't you give them a call today and find out what you can cook up for your family. It's cookout season. It's the summer of Welcome Home Beef. Put it on the grill. Call them today at 662-268-8148 or visit them online at welcomehomebeef.com. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Our good friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I had some folks tell me they're coming to Starkville this weekend. Where should I go? I said, hey, Humble Taco or Two Brothers. And I think the verdicts were just about split between those two places. And, man, if I had to tell you to do something, hit them both. Hit them both. But Two Brothers, man, what a great place to go. One of my favorites in Starkville. One of my favorites in the SEC. And I've traveled to almost every city around the SEC and eaten in a lot of great restaurants. But Two Brothers is right near the very top. A unique menu. It's so much more than just barbecue when you're eating at Two Brothers. It is smoked Southern soul food right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great patio, great people, great local beers, great craft cocktails, and of course, and most importantly, great food. Check them out today at 621 University Drive, Two Brothers Smoked Meats. What are you smiling at?
I'm going through a collection of photos of ways people are storing gasoline at all these pumps and stuff. And it is just...
The plastic bag is the worst one, isn't
it? Awful. It's awful. But, I mean, we have, like, this laundry basket-looking thing that...
Has holes in it?
Well, I don't see any holes. It's just, a storage container is probably a better word than a laundry basket, but still.
Jeez Louise. All right, let's move. Let's continue with our sponsors. They'll get away from dumb people and their escapades with chemicals. Advantage Business System says, hey, don't store gas in plastic bags. But more importantly than that, give them a call for all your business technological needs. They have a wide variety of services, of products, of information systems, of everything you need to make sure your business is profitable and not problematic. And more importantly, they're going to back everything they give to you up with top-notch quality service that you would expect from your... Your face is making me laugh. Stop.
I found something else. I'm sorry. I'll look down.
Please do. It's going to back it up with top-notch quality service that only your local Mississippians can provide. They are a Mississippi business first and foremost. They are doing business in this state, not only with you, not only with your neighbors, but with Mississippi State University, with Oktibbeha County Hospital here in Starkville. That's who they're doing business with. They want to do business with you and help your business thrive. Call them today at 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. See how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. So what was it?
It was just a meme.
Oh, it was a meme. Okay.
Yes, I'll show you later.
All right, okay. So I thought you found like a more ridiculous gasoline
storage. No, I mean, there were plenty of dumb ones.
All right. Special teams. True or false, hot take or not, Brandon Ruiz might be the best kicker in the SEC.
I don't think it's a hot take. I think it may be true.
Evan McPherson gone. Alabama's kicker from last year is gone. I forget his name, but I know he was consistent.
Which was weird for Alabama.
It was weird. Opportunity here for him to be one of the top kickers in the conference, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I will confess that I haven't done any scouting on every kicker in the SEC, but Brandon Ruiz was really good. He was really good at kickoffs. He did what we begged Joe Moorhead to do for years. I say begged. What we didn't understand why Joe Moorhead didn't do for years. But he kicks the ball in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm a huge fan of.
I don't understand why if you can do that, you don't do that. That seems to be a pretty good strategy to keep teams from running it back against you. He does everything well. If there is a better kicker in the SEC, it ain't by much.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when you play in the SEC and you expect to probably have some close games, it sure helps to have a guy that you feel like can put it through the uprights. And you feel like within, about 45 yards,
mm-hmm.
Ruiz is going to have a darn good shot to make.
I feel like State's very solid at place kicker. Ruiz is a good kicker. At punter, they need more consistency.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tucker Day's a little bit Jekyll and Hyde-ish.
Yes.
He has these stretches where he's really good. And then he has some stretches where not so much.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know what to expect out of Tucker Day at this point.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about a guy, it was his fifth year, he's been in Mississippi State quite a while. You know, he's one of these guys. It
feels like he's been here a long time. But
well, I mean, was he punting as a true freshman in 17? He punted for Mullen, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is his fifth year of playing football. And... I mean, he's had some moments where you're like, wow, he's really got a good leg on him. And then he had some moments where you're just like, why is this guy the punter? And, you know, some of that I attribute to some poor coaching, which is he told us about himself. But then I attribute some of that, you know, just punting is such a, an interesting part of the game. Because, I mean, if everything's – it feels like that is the most mechanically dependent part of the game. That if you don't do everything correct, you're going to shank the ball. Feels like, you know, you can get away with a bad throw every now and then. A bad punt, everybody sees it. It just goes off the side of your foot, it goes 25 yards, and everybody's like, what the hell's going on? Namely, me. So, consistency is probably the word we're looking for from Tucker Day. You get consistency from Brandon Ruiz, I think. You know, you got to get that from Tucker Day.
Shanky punts, kind of like the pitcher that can't throw strikes. It's like,
yeah,
that's all you got to do, man. Like, that's your job.
Yeah.
You don't go out there and hit everybody every
job.
Day.
Yeah.
You just go out there and... I mean, it's been a while, but we used to go out to practice and see this. And, I mean, that's all you have to do, punt, time after time again. This ain't me hating. It's just, it's why people get so frustrated when there's a shank or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's your one, what's the old, you know, you had one job.
You had one job, yeah.
Yeah, and so we'll see if Tucker Day can be a little more consistent at this guy.
And then we have the return game, which has just, to me, has just been such a struggle for Mississippi State over the past decade, basically since Chad Bumpus left.
Well, there's a man by the name of Tulu that wants to
let's talk about him.
Opinion around.
I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying it's a strike against Mike Leach. I understand that Tulu Griffin, I know he battled some injury problems early on, but the fact that he wasn't the primary kick returner, like, at least midway through the season, boggles my mind. Clearly, he has a knack for it. I think that he is going to be, I think he has the potential to be, I don't want to speak in absolutes, but to be State's best kick returner, maybe since Bumpus, maybe since Kevin Prentice, you want to go that far?
I agree with you. Let me play devil's advocate again.
Nothing
our
I
favorite
hate more
game.
Than devil's advocate, but go ahead.
Let's play it. Are we slanted because he had one big game? Like, are we taking that Tulsa bowl game and just saying he's going to be the greatest ever because he had a fantastic game?
Didn't he have a good game against Missouri? Am I wrong in that? I think towards the end of the season he was getting.
I mean,
more
it wasn't
involved.
As good as what we saw against Tulsa.
Well, against Tulsa, I get that, but. To me, you know, kick returning is about speed and elusiveness, and that's something I know that Tulu Griffin has. And I've been saying that for a long time. I think State has always had these guys who could be good kick returners. I thought Brandon Holloway was one. He returned one for a touchdown. You know, I feel like they we've always lamented that State never had these big wide receivers. Well, little wide receivers make good kick returners. And so I've been, you know, sort of my mind has been boggled, if you will, by State's lack of success through the years in the return game. I think Griffin can be a guy who changes that up for Mississippi State. You've got to have those opportunities. Yeah. But I think that he can do that. You know, people underestimate how important return game is. When we talk about hidden yardage, I mean, the difference between averaging 10 yards per return and 15 yards per return is a massive thing when we're talking about, you know, if you take 10 punts a game, you know, or not 10 punts a game, like 5-6 punts a game, that's 30 yards of offense. You know, that's 30 less yards to get to a touchdown. In a kickoff game, there's a huge difference between 20 yards of return and 27 yards per return. One is, you know, you should have just kept it in the end zone. The 27 is, okay, you're starting over the 30.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference there. State needs to be, you know, especially when I look at this offense and I think they're probably still going to be more of a possession-based offense. I don't know how much big play threat they have outside of, you know, Griffin, Wally a little bit. That field position is going to be a key for them. So I want to see Griffin, you know, develop. I want to see somebody. It doesn't have to be Tulu Griffin. But somebody needs to develop into a really legitimate return man threat. State hasn't had one in a while. I want to see if this guy can do it. If he can... Well, that's another plus for Mississippi State.
Yep. I'm intrigued to see if, like, a guy... Can Teddy Knox come in and contribute? I mean,
that's another guy I'm interested in.
Anytime I see a Twitter handle that's, what is it, like, fastest guy in Texas or whatever
it
is, that intrigues me from a special team standpoint. I want the fastest guy in Texas running... I don't know if he's actually the fastest guy in Texas, but...
He's one of them.
Yeah. I want that guy, assuming he can catch the ball...
You know, assuming he's going to come in and not redshirt, which I don't think he is... It feels like a situation where I would put him there immediately. Like I want those two guys deep on the kickoffs because it feels like it's easy for him to make an impact there. Especially when I watch, and to me, Leach's kickoff return philosophy is no different than Moorhead's, which was no different than Mullins, which was, as I've said it many times, run into the middle, and if you come out clean on the other side, God bless you. You know, The bowl game was one of the first times I saw those guys try to reach for the sidelines and try to make those, you know, try to get outside like that. For the most part, it's just like, just funnel it up the middle and we'll see what happens. So, yeah, put two guys with some speed back there and make people think.
That's why when you're playing NCAA football 14 or whatever the last one was, you just recruit guys at speed ratings like 99 or whatever.
I would not recruit a receiver or I didn't recruit a receiver, a DB, or a running back that was above 4.5. Never. I didn't care what the star ranking was. I was like, do they have speed? I'm good. Simple as that. We're sort of wrapped up with position breakdowns now. And now that we've sort of looked through all of them, is there any position that you didn't feel great about coming in that you've talked yourself into a little bit? Or is there one you thought you did feel good about that now when you look at it in detail, you say maybe they got some work there?
I think the more this spring, just in general, I thought about the safety position and just the guys that you have there. I think we've said this before, but there's no like star power there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many solid options that you just feel like there's so many plug and play guys there that they're going to figure out something to be really good in the secondary. You know, assuming, especially if you, as long as Martin Emerson and Forbes stay healthy on the corners. And I think State's got so many options at safety that you have the makings of a really darn good overall secondary for this team. I think I hadn't really thought so much about that until this spring and talking about it and watching these guys out there in scrimmages and the spring games. I just, you know, last year we were really, we talked about that secondary as, I don't know, you know, kind of thing. But I'm pretty confident that State's going to be darn good on the back end defensively this year.
I agree with you 100%. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So I think we're like, if I did my math right, I'll have to redo it. I think we're like 3 weeks away from starting up any kind of our summer content, if you will. But we'll get into that for sure. We'll find some football stuff to talk about over the next couple of weeks for sure. And then tomorrow's show, I guess we didn't really preview Missouri on today's show, but at this point, it feels like it's more about Mississippi State than anything else. You know, they did announce the rotation. It is McLeod, Bednar, and then our old standby TBA returns to the rotation.
He's had a solid career.
He is somebody who's taken full advantage of these COVID years of eligibility.
Yeah.
He's stuck around for a long time. He's got at least 2 degrees. So we'll see how that
works. I wonder how much he can get in the name, image, likeness kind of thing. What can TBA muster?
He can be anybody. So he could be Trevor Lawrence. You know, he could be whoever you want him to be. So he could make some big money.
Go back in time. He can be, you know, Brantley or something.
I think if we're doing a prediction for this series, I went sweep last weekend and I got close. I'm going to go sweep again. I think Missouri's just not any good. Carolina's actually a good team. I wasn't overly surprised they found a way to win one game. Missouri's not a good team.
I went 2 out of 3 last weekend, and lo and behold, Joel T was right. So let's see if Joel T can be right again. I'm with you. The brooms get broken out.
We'll see what happens. All right, so tomorrow's show will be a late-night extravaganza. So who knows what we're going to say, but we'll recap game one. From Starkville for Mississippi State versus Missouri. Guys, have a great Friday, or Thursday. Back with you on Friday morning for Joel T. Coleman.
Woo.
I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.